Welcome to Oh My God, I'm Getting Older and So Is My Mom with Scott Greenberg of Comfort Care Senior Services, a show about coping with getting older ourselves and dealing with our aging parents. If you have questions about how to cope with these stresses, call Scott at 877-960-9960. Now, here's Scott.
Welcome, everybody, another edition of Oh My God, I'm Getting Older, So Is My Mom. We're thrilled that you decided to spend some of your Monday evening with us. If you're listening from Fort Lauderdale to Fort Pierce, if you're on the road, be careful. Drive carefully if you're experiencing any weather. And if you're not, you could be in 3 minutes, like the rest of us here. Stay safe. Be calm. You'll get there in plenty of time. So if you're having trouble hearing me tonight, and it's not your reception, tonight's show is tailor-made for you. Dr. Lindsay Bride is here. She is an audiologist at Adept Audiology, and she's going to answer all of your questions about hearing loss, the early warning signs of hearing loss, a really important subject, the hearing aids and all of the options you have out there, and the risks of doing absolutely nothing about that hearing loss. So keep your radio tuned in. Turn up the volume if you need to, and we'll be with Dr. Bride in just a second. First, I can't tell you and stress this enough. COVID is not gone, friends. COVID is real. I heard just today of 3 more people and 2 more communities struggling with COVID outbreaks. I encourage you to do everything you can to protect yourself. I don't think you have to be obsessive about it. I don't think you have to go around wearing a mask everywhere you go. But if you're not vaccinated or haven't had your booster, please, we want you to come back every Monday night to listen to us. And the best way to do that is to make sure you don't get sick and end up someplace you don't want to be. So please, COVID's real. And as long as we're on taking care of yourself, this heat wave is the real deal, friends. All right? Stay hydrated. Stay out of the sun in the middle of the day. Do the best that you possibly can to stay cool. And avoid the heat wherever possible. So between the heat wave and COVID, there's a lot of risk out there, especially for my audience. I encourage you to do everything you possibly can, all right, to stay healthy so that we can see you next week when we have another great show. But let's get to this show. Let me tell you a little bit about my guest. Dr. Lindsay Bride, a Michigan native, is an audiologist, and she is the owner of Adept Audiology, a private practice located in Lakewood Ranch in Sarasota, Florida. She has been practicing for 15 years and specializes in diagnostic hearing evaluations, detection of outer, middle, and inner ear pathologies, and advanced digital hearing aid fittings. She has conducted extensive research in the areas of audiologic counseling and the detrimental effects of untreated hearing loss. She currently resides in Lakewood Ranch, Florida, and in her spare time, she enjoys fishing, hiking, reading. Her husband, 2 kids, 2 dogs keep her life full of joy and lots of laughter. And having met Dr. Bride months ago, I can tell you she's a joy to be around. Dr. Bride, welcome to the show. How are you tonight?
I'm doing wonderful. Thank you so much for having me.
Terrific. So just to frame the debate a little for the audience, how big a problem is hearing loss?
So hearing loss is considered to be the second most prevalent chronic health condition globally right now. I don't think people are aware, but if we look at the global statistics, we know that over 1.5 billion people, or 20% of the global population, have some degree of hearing loss. In the U.S., we know it's about 13% of the population, which would be 30 million, or 1 in 8 people, so over 400 million globally, and like I said, about 30 million in the U.S.
Those are astounding numbers. I know we prepared for this, but even I'm a little surprised by those. So does age, is that the only factor, or does age play a factor? If you're getting old, do you end up having to experience some hearing loss or not?
That's a great question. So, yes, I jokingly tell my patients, you know, if we live long enough, everyone is going to have some degree of hearing loss. Unfortunately, like most things in the body, parts of our ear deteriorate and change over time. And inevitably, you will have some degree of hearing loss with age. So if you're over the age of 60, for example, you know, 1 in 3 people will have some hearing loss. And if you're over the age of 70, half of that population will have hearing loss. So we know it's definitely an age-related thing. That said, I do see patients of all ages, from very young children, newborns, as well as, you know, kids and teenagers that also have hearing loss. So aside from age, there are additional factors that can cause loss of hearing.
So I'm thinking about as you're speaking, are there degrees of hearing loss? Is it gradual? Is it sudden? When you say 1 out of 3 over the age of 60 or over the age of 70, does it get progressive, or, you know, is it something that most people can live with and don't see themselves having a problem?
Great question again. So, yes, so hearing loss tends to be very gradual. So, you know, by the time you hit 30, you're already starting to lose some hearing. So anything above what they consider to be 20 decibels is a hearing loss. That said, most people can live pretty reasonably well with a very slight or very mild hearing loss. But as we age, hair cells within the inner ear or cochlea start to deteriorate, and it causes that hearing loss to gradually get worse and worse. So it becomes, goes from mild to more moderate to more severe and then to profound. And one of the unique things that I see daily in my practice is that a lot of people that have had gradual hearing loss are actually unaware of their loss, and that is because it has happened so slow. They truly believe that's the way they heard over time. They don't see it as a change. They think that's the way it's always been. So there is a part of many people that just simply are not aware until a friend or a family member points out that, hey, your hearing is changing. It's not quite as good as it used to be.
And you know, my generation, this generation, the generation that's listening to the show tonight, you know, a lot of us listened to loud music. We were the first generation with the buds in our ears all the time, you know, boom boxes. And then we, the Panasonic, I forget the device, what it was called, the Walkman. You know, we were the first people.
Yeah.
Is my generation, this generation, my audience's generation, are we more prone to this than people in the past were, or not?
The answer probably is yes and no. So in terms of presenting sound to the at ear level, like you're describing with music, now people are listening to audiobooks and things over excessive periods of time, yes, you can tire out the ear if you listen to music and whatnot for too long throughout the day, and that can contribute to more hearing loss, and again, developing loss at a younger age. That said, we also know a lot more about hearing loss today than we ever did before. So some of the older generations that had hearing loss due to not wearing hearing protection around firearms and in certain type of loud work environments or during recreational hobbies like using outdoor machinery and whatnot. So a lot of those that population, they were not aware that they needed to wear hearing aids. So I think both generations have quite a degree of hearing loss, but for different reasons, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does. You know, I know we're going to talk more about early intervention and when you should, you know, start to address hearing loss. But I'll probably ask this more than once tonight because I'm fascinated. What you do doesn't, how do I, you can't reverse hearing loss so much as you can address it and accommodate it or compensate for it, or am I wrong about that?
No, that for the most part, you are correct. So when you lose hearing due to traditional aging and changes in the hair cells, those types of hearing loss are permanent. And those are the typical types of loss we see in our aging population, or again, due to noise exposure. 80% of the people we see have that type of hearing loss. I would say probably 80 to 90% of the people we see have that type of permanent hearing loss where it cannot be reversed. It cannot be restored. So what we're doing is trying to treat to improve hearing so the quality of life is improved, but we cannot reverse what has been permanently damaged. There are instances of 5 to 10% of cases, I would say, where there is a medical condition that is causing the hearing loss. And when we have people in our practice, we are able to detect whether or not the loss is medically related, meaning it can be medically fixed by an ENT with a surgery or a procedure, or if it's something, again, that is permanent, that could be only be treated most likely by hearing devices. So Most of the time, again, it is treatable with hearing devices, but cannot be reversed. In those rare instances, it can be reversed. We are able to detect that, and then we refer out to a medical specialist to do that, who would be an ENT.
Well, okay. You know, my wife forever yells at me, and I'm sure you hear this all the time. You know, my husband can't hear anymore, as opposed to maybe he's not listening. You know, I mean, I'm sure you hear, you know, that's nothing new to you. But what are some of the real warning signs, the early warning signs that someone is experiencing hearing loss that they should be paying attention to?
I love that you say that, because one of my favorite things to do is to work with couples. You know, usually one person is dragging the other into the room and saying, he can't hear, and then I hear it again, she can't hear. I think half the time I'm a marriage counselor, which I really enjoy, actually.
You would be here, if you were in the studio today, you would be a marriage counselor. but go ahead, I'm sorry.
Oh, no, sure. So, yes, and again, people know. We do have fun with the fact that at times that we don't always know what we don't know. So one of the warning signs is if someone says that you cannot hear, if someone says they've noticed changes in your hearing, I would trust what that person is saying and go in and have your hearing checked. So, again, the vast majority of the time, people don't realize they have a hearing loss until someone brings it to their attention. Other warning signs would be, are you turning up the TV? Do you feel like it's not as loud, as clear as it used to be? Or turning up the radio? Are you struggling to hear in the presence of noise? If you go to, for example, a restaurant or a group gathering, do you feel like you're hearing, but it's just not as clear? You know, are you leaning in and really straining to hear? Those are all signs of hearing loss, especially in the early stages. Another big sign is tinnitus or ringing in the ear. Usually, tinnitus goes hand in hand with hearing loss. So if you're developing a more constant type of tinnitus, get in and get your hearing checked. So those are all some of the very early signs of hearing loss.
I'll come back to it later about early intervention. But, you know, I asked you this when we met the first time. So why can't I hear my TVs? Even when I turn the volume up, there are words I can't distinguish. There are, I don't know whether it's tonal. And everybody I know in my age has the same problem. You know, we have the TV on. I have wonderful speakers. I spent a fortune on all these speakers. I have surround sound, and I still have no idea what they're saying on TV. Is that normal, or is that a sign of hearing loss, or is that a different problem? Because a lot of people have that problem.
I was going to joke with you. Well, it's because you have a hearing loss.
Well, which my wife insists I do.
But that it's probably the number one complaint I see. And in all honesty, I see people come in worried because they cannot hear the TV, and I test them with normal hearing.
Right.
So a couple things are changing. So the way they make TV today, the dialogue, the words in the dialogue in the TV show are so close to the background noise that the signal, which is the speech-to-noise ratio, is too close. So even with normal hearing, if the signal or speech is the same level as the background noise, even someone with normal hearing won't be able to distinguish what's being said. And that's a lot of what's happening on TV, is they're not separating the dialogue from the background noise so the listener can hear it. And I'm not sure why exactly. I mean, I have some ideas, but I don't know the exact answers to why they're doing that, but that is why the majority of Americans, whether you have normal hearing or not, struggle to hear the TV.
Maybe you don't know this, and because this is not really a hearing problem. It's really an audio problem, not audiology problem. If somebody like me who has that problem with TV doesn't have that problem in a movie theater, is it a different sound system? Or is that the difference in what you were describing as the way film and voice and video are put together?
You know, it's tough to say. I mean, a lot of times in movie theaters, they can have the sound so loud, it's up to like 80-some decibels,
right.
And that can actually be to a point where it's damaging to your hearing. I know some people that even go to a movie theater report the same thing. I can't separate the dialogue.
Right.
to go a little deeper into that. So I guess I don't. The short answer is I'm not totally sure. Sometimes it's even dependent upon the video, or it's dependent upon the exact network or whatever it is you're listening to. But the other thing to keep in mind is most people that have hearing loss or even mild, even at the early stages, you lose high frequency hearing first. And when that happens, your brain's ability to really hear consonants is diminished. And when that happens, it means your brain, if your brain cannot pick up the consonants of speech, it makes you feel like speech is garbled. It's muffled. It's not clear. So whether it's on the TV or talking with somebody in person, you're not able to always hear clear. You can hear, but it's not clear because of the diminished high-frequency hearing and the inability to really hear every single sound that's been said. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. What kind of sound is high-frequency, as you describe, versus moderate or low-frequency? I don't know if those are the terms, moderate or low-frequency. What are the differences that... Because I never really divided hearing into those categories.
Yeah, so when we test hearing, we test it across a spectrum that's designed to hear speech. So they go from low frequency ranges, which is about 250 hertz, all the way up to very high frequency ranges, which is 8,000 hertz. And throughout those range, again, the reason audiologists test hearing is to determine how well you hear speech. So across that spectrum, there's different types of speech sounds. And traditionally, we hear more vowel sounds in the bass tones. And what the vowel sounds do is they give us an opportunity to hear more volume of words. When you get to the higher frequencies, 2 and 4,000 hertz, 2, 3, 4,000 hertz, that's where we really start to hear consonants like your S, your T, your P, your K.
Right.
And when you have loss in those areas, if your brain is not hearing those sounds, again, it makes speech sound mushy, garbled, unclear. So depending on where your loss is across the spectrum, you may feel like, well, I'm not hearing enough volume, or you may find, no, I'm hearing volume, it's just not clear.
That's fascinating. If you're just tuning in, of course, this is Scott Greenberg. Oh, my God, I'm getting older. So is my mom. Here tonight with Dr. Lindsay Bryant, who is an audiologist and the owner of Adept Audiology. We're talking about hearing loss. We're going to shift gears as we move forward into hearing aids, and we're going to talk about testing. We're going to talk about the different providers, the good and bad, over-the-counter hearing aids, and so much more. If you're concerned about hearing loss, you think you may be struggling with it, or you think your husband is, or your wife is, and you have questions for Dr. Bride, you can call her, and she will be able to hear you at 877-960-9960. That's 877-960-9960.
I'm here with Allison from Comfort Care Senior Services. Allison, at Comfort Care, you guys are proud to be a family-owned and operated business.
That's right, Mike. It's myself and my husband, Tino, my sister, Melissa, and her husband, Joe, and my parents, Irene and Scott Greenberg. As you can tell by 6 family members being able to work together, family is extremely important to us. Our clients often have kids that live out of state or even overseas, and those extended family members want to have the comfort of being able to contact a family member at any time to follow up on how mom or dad is doing. While you are able to reach a family member at any time, our office staff is truly part of our extended family. They monitor the phones 24/7 in case of an emergency and are empowered to make decisions that are in the best interest of the client, because at Comfort Care, it's the quality of care, not the severity of your condition, that determines the quality of life. Call us at 561-630-1620. That's 561-630-1620, or visit our website at palmbeach.comfortcare.com. That's palmbeach.comfortcare.com.
Do your parents live in South Florida? We know it can be difficult to be there for them when you live far away. As your parents get older, things can change in an instant. Are you prepared?
Finding a trusted local expert to coordinate and provide care makes all the difference. Eldercare 360 can provide you and your family the proper guidance, support, and resources to assist you and your loved ones with their daily activities of living with healthcare challenges.
As a patient advocate, Eldercare 360 brings together a team of patient-focused, caring professionals with decades of experience. Call us to see how we can help before the crisis at 561-713-1800.
Make Eldercare 360 part of your team. Eldercare 360, patient advocacy, coordination of services, in Full Circle of Care. 561-713-1800.
You might know that one out of four adults over 65 fall and end up in the emergency room each year. What hits even closer to home is that one in 10 adults over 65 fall every hour of every day in Palm Beach County. Hi, I'm Dan Lagani, the CEO and co-founder of Silver Solutions, the on-demand safe living and home solutions company. At Silver Solutions, our mission is to help make your future look different. For over a decade, we've been working with families like yours to eliminate home safety risks so that you or mom can safely age in place. And when it's time to downsize or ready a family home for sale after a loss, Silver Solutions specialists will also help and do the work for you. To find out more, call now to schedule a free home assessment at 1-877-AGE-SAFE. That's 1-877-AGE-SAFE. Or visit us online now at silversolutions.com. Silver Solutions, we make growing older safer and easier for the whole family.
Welcome back to Oh My God, I'm Getting Older and So Is My Mom with Scott Greenberg of Comfort Care Senior Services. Reach Scott with your questions, 877-960-9960. Now, back to Scott.
Welcome back, everybody, here tonight with Dr. Lindsay Bride. Dr. Bride is an audiologist, obviously specializing in hearing loss, but also hearing solutions. So we're gonna start to migrate from how big a problem it is and what the problem is, how you can identify it, to some of the implications of that. Dr. Bride is gracious enough to spend her Monday evening with us, and we're glad that you are as well. Dr. Bride, what are some of the consequences of hearing loss? How does this impact us?
Great question. So some of the consequences of hearing loss, probably the biggest one that we're learning about today is the impact on cognition. So there has been a tremendous link between untreated hearing loss, so again, a hearing loss that has not been treated with the use of hearing devices, and an increase in risk for cognitive decline. And the reason that is, based on all the research and studies, is because we don't actually hear with our ear. We hear with our brain. And so when you have a hearing loss, it means there's parts of your brain that are inadequately stimulated with sound. And like anything in your body that's understimulated, there's parts of the brain that in turn atrophy and shrink. And there's such a tremendous strain on the brain because of that, it actually starts to deplete the resources we need to be able to recall, to remember, to process, to really just think. And it really starts to increase your risk for dementia and cognitive decline.
So that obviously is a huge consequence of hearing loss. I guess the question is it a chicken and an egg? Do people who are, is hearing loss perhaps an early warning sign of coming cognitive impairment, or is it a cause of cognitive impairment? Does everybody with cognitive impairment struggle with hearing loss? I guess that's a lot. I'll stop there.
Oh, that's okay. Yeah. So when you say the chicken or the egg, that's a great point because there's a lot of things that can cause cognitive decline. We know that, for example, when you have that relate to hearing loss. So with hearing loss, other negative effects of untreated hearing loss are increased fatigue, in particular listening fatigue because your brain's working so hard. You have increased risk for stress, hospitalization, sadness and depression, isolation. Again, most people that have hearing loss, if you're not treating it, they tend to be less social. They're more isolated. So all of those factors as well increase the risk for cognitive decline and dementia. What's been really fascinating as of late is that research is now showing us that if you have a hearing loss and you start to treat it with hearing aids, the brain is stimulated again. It's awake. You know, those neural pathways are working again, and it's actually been shown to now slow the rate of cognitive decline. So we can't say definitively that hearing loss will cause cognitive decline, but it's one of the many risk factors and perhaps a contributing part to other health factors that will absolutely increase that risk. And again, it's been really interesting to find that in truly treating it adequately, and I stress the word adequately, you can then adequately stimulate the brain, which then slows down that cognitive decline.
Which is kind of a terrific segue into my next question. You are an audiologist. There are lots of people who claim to be experts in hearing loss, But there are differences, right, in all of those people out there. And I know that's a broad question, and I know that you would have no interest in bad-mouthing others, but there are real differences. Can you explain that to the audience?
Yes. So an audiologist is the required degree is a doctor of audiology degree. So you have a four-year undergraduate degree in speech and hearing sciences, and then you take on a four-year doctoral degree in specifically audiology. So during our years of training, we're learning all about the ear, the brain. We're learning about not only your hearing, but your balance system. We're learning about ways to diagnose and treat hearing loss in a very, you know, professional, medical, and ethical way. So that is, in my opinion, that's the preferred route. And to your point, I don't want to speak poorly about other providers, but what I know is that there are other providers that have certainly less education than an audiologist. And I would say the most popular one would be a hearing aid specialist. And I'll say right off the bat, there are some really good hearing aid specialists, and unfortunately there are some that just don't have the education required to really treat a hearing loss. So a hearing aid specialist, you get your training by shadowing underneath another hearing aid specialist and taking a six-month training course online, and then you have to pass a written test. And from there, you're able to provide a hearing test, and you're also able to dispense a hearing device. And I think what we've seen in our industry is that a hearing aid is a hearing aid, but it's only as good as the provider and the professional that's really programming it and really working with the loss and the device as a whole. And it's, in being honest, it's really hard to try to compete with an education and background degree with an audiologist up against a hearing aid specialist. They're just, while again, they have, they're allowed to dispense a hearing device, they just don't have the same background degree and knowledge as an audiologist to really be able to treat that loss.
And my words, not yours, you know, there's a lot to be said for education. And while people may be well-intentioned, the reality is that their skill set just bumps up against some limits. And I don't know this, or maybe we can talk about it after the break, whether you as an audiologist have the ability to find some things that a hearing aid specialist might miss. And we're going to talk about all of that in just a minute. If you're just tuning in, Scott Greenberg here. Oh, my God, I'm getting older, so is my mom. Yes, you know, we're here every Monday night from 6 to 7 talking about issues that confront boomers and their parents. For new listeners, we're here every Monday night from 6 to 7. Tonight, we're talking about one of the most important subjects, and admittedly, I've never talked about this before, and I'm excited to have the opportunity to bring Dr. Lindsay Bryant to you. She is an audiologist, and we're talking about hearing loss, and we're going to talk about the restoration of your hearing through the various devices that are there. We've touched on the difference between audiology and hearing aid specialists. There are other providers as well. We're going to talk about different methods of testing, and we're going to dig deep into the hearing aid spectrum as soon as we come back. If you have questions for Dr. Bryant or for myself, you can reach us, 877-960-9960. That's 877-960-9960.
I'm here with Tino from Comfort Care Senior Services. Tino, you train all of your caregivers on how to deal with those who are struggling with Alzheimer's disease, right?
I do, Mike. This disease process is frightening for everyone, and change is the scariest thing for most people. Where we should start is changing the way we think. People are not dying from Alzheimer's disease. They are living with it, and we have to figure out a way for them to keep on living their best life possible. I always say activities of daily living keep people alive. Meaningful activities is what gives people a life worth living. Properly training caregivers on all sorts of dementia is very important. Learning about behavior modification techniques, avoiding triggers, tapping into the abilities that are preserved the longest with people with dementia, and figuring out what's important to them are all vital tools caregivers need to understand. Remember, it's about the quality of care, not the severity of one's condition that determines their quality of life. Let our family take care of your family. Call us at 561-630-1620 or visit us on the web at palmbeach.comfortcare.com.
I'm here with Allison from Comfort Care Senior Services. Allison, at Comfort Care, you guys really look at every client differently.
Activities of daily living keep people alive. Meaningful activities give people a life worth living. That's why at Comfort Care, we complete a social history for our clients. It taps into one's life story to help caregivers know more about who this person was and, quite frankly, still is. It asks questions like, what did you do for a living? What volunteer work did you do? What was your favorite book or movie? Were you in the military? And the list goes on. Understanding background like this is helpful in creating meaningful activities. For example, if someone was a cartographer in the Army, perhaps a trip to the library to look at old maps of where they were conversation might be an interesting activity. If someone were an avid golfer, perhaps a makeshift putting green might be a fun outing. We couple that with a day in the life, which asks more of the daily routine questions, so a caregiver coming in is already familiar with the schedule. It makes the adjustment to having a caregiver that much easier. Caregivers want to help their clients live their best life possible. Being armed with the right information can help, because at Comfort Care, it's the quality of care, not the severity of one's condition, that determines your quality of life. Call us at 561-630-1620. That's 561-630-1620.
Welcome back to Oh My God, I'm Getting Older and So Is My Mom with Scott Greenberg of Comfort Care Senior Services. Reach Scott with your questions, 877-960-9960. Now, back to Scott.
Welcome back, everybody. We're here tonight with Dr. Lindsay Bry talking about hearing loss, and we're talking about what causes it. We've started to talk about who you should see to fix it. Dr. Bry is an audiologist at Adept Audiology. Unfortunately, it's not right in the area here, but I'm still going to give you the opportunity to take down her number soon. If you have questions, I'm sure you can call her, and maybe you know somebody on the west coast of Florida who needs help too, and they can certainly use Dr. Bride's services. Dr. Bride, you know, you were explaining the difference between an audiologist and a hearing aid specialist, and I know there are other people out there pretending to be experts in hearing loss and product differences. Are there different methods of testing for hearing loss?
Yes. So the primary method for testing is going to be behavioral, which means we put you in a soundproof booth and we determine what levels of sound you're able to hear. In addition, in our office, we test different parts medically within the ear. So we test your hair cell ability. We test your eardrum, movement of the eardrum. So basically what we're doing is trying to determine if you have a hearing loss, where is it coming from, the outer, middle, or inner part of the ear. So there's really various tools that we have and medical pieces of equipment to test the hearing. If you are non-responsive, so sometimes, you know, we see our newborns that need a hearing screening, and they're obviously not able just to, you know, click the button and tell us when they hear the sound. So we also have the equipment to be able to test hearing while someone is sleeping through various methods. So, but the typical one, if we have an adult or an old enough child, is just behaviorally, meaning we put you in the booth and play the beep and ask you to hit the button when you think you've heard it.
Why do people object to getting their hearing tested? I think I stumped you.
No. I think I have several answers. I think it's really, you know, I sometimes ask myself the same question, like, why are you not doing something about it? I ask my patients the same question. I think the biggest thing is denial, to be honest. I think there's so many patients I run into every day that, you know, again, somebody dragged them in the office. Somebody made them come in because they didn't feel they had a problem. And I see it every day that most of the time it's somebody else in their world that is more affected by the hearing loss than them. And treatment is another story, but just to come in and get tested, I think that's one of the issues. The other thing is some people are worried about insurance or cost. Well, I will say the majority of insurances, Medicare included, will cover a hearing test every year. So I would hope that barrier has been lessened, knowing that, again, most insurances will pay for those diagnostic hearing visits.
Mm-hmm. So let's dig into what most people really want to hear about, or many people do, hearing aids. I can't open my newspaper without seeing ads for these over-the-counter hearing aids from all sorts of manufacturers and providers. But there's a huge difference in hearing aids. At the 30,000-foot level, can we talk through that, and then we'll drill down into some specifics?
Sure. So there's always been, you know, hundreds of hearing aid manufacturers, and now with the development of over-the-counter, I think it probably became thousands overnight. And what I'll say is in our world of audiology, so audiologists know that there's lots of options, but we know there's only five really good options. There are five hearing aid manufacturers that have really cornered the market and have the absolute best research, development, product reliability, performance and speech and noise, very automated type of design, very good digital prescription hearing aids. So an audiologist will prescribe something from one of those top manufacturers. And those products you cannot get online. They have to be ordered through your provider, through your audiologist. Nowadays, you can also buy hearing aids online and, to your point, over the counter. And I think what I encourage people to keep in mind is it's not apples to apples. The device you're getting on the internet or at your CVS or Walgreens is certainly not the same thing we are prescribing in the office. Like I said, the hearing aid one is only as good as the provider, the person programming it. And two, anything that they're prescribing over the internet or over the counter is only designed typically to treat a very mild hearing loss. And that is because they provide hearing aids that are able to treat a moderate or severe hearing loss, they can actually get so loud it can absolutely damage your hearing. So again, they're only going to put devices in the store that are for mild hearing loss. And audiologists are thinking to themselves, well, most people don't even make it into the office with a mild hearing loss because they're getting by. So I think over-the-counter it's a nice segue for people to introduce themselves to hearing aids, but I've seen this time and time again that it's a route that people will probably often try and be dissatisfied with, and then they'll wait for their hearing to get a bit worse, and then they'll come see an audiologist for really good technology.
Yeah, I think it's fascinating. And I have questions that when we come out of this next break, I want to ask you about fit. I know you said there are five. I know the time that I saw your presentation, you talked about kind of the difference between amplifying and a hearing aid, and there's a difference there. I want to talk about the VA. We're going to talk about costs as well. I'm here tonight with Dr. Lindsay Bright. She's an audiologist, a hearing loss expert, but also a hearing restoration expert, and because she can help you hear better and improve the quality of your life, and as we heard before, you know, maybe slow down any progression of mild cognitive impairment, because there is a direct correlation between hearing loss and cognitive impairment. We have so much more to talk to Dr. Bright about. This, of course, is Scott Greenberg. Oh, my God, I'm getting older, so is my mom. And you're listening on True Oldies from Fort Lauderdale to Fort Pierce. We're going to tell you how you can recapture the show. We're going to tell you how you can reach Dr. Bright. All of that as soon as we come back. If you have questions for Dr. Bright or for myself, call us, 877-960-9960. That's 877-960-9960.
Long before most of us ever heard of COVID-19, Silver Solutions understood that growing older wouldn't always be easy, but it could be safer and more rewarding. At Silver Solutions, we pride ourselves on creating physically safer homes for older adults, wherever home is. Whether you're senior-proofing your current home, downsizing to assisted living, or emptying a home after the loss of a loved one, Silver Solutions can help. To find out more about our services or to schedule a free virtual home assessment, call Silver Solutions today at 1-877-AGE-SAFE. That's 1-877-AGE-SAFE. Or visit us online at silversolutions.com. Our specialists are deeply experienced, compassionate, and follow rigorous CDC guidelines, including the use of full personal protective equipment for your family's safety. You can't control everything in life, but when it comes to making growing older safer and less stressful, you can count on Silver Solutions.
Do your parents live in South Florida? We know it can be difficult to be there for them when you live far away. As your parents get older, things can change in an instant. Are you prepared?
Finding a trusted local expert to coordinate and provide care makes all the difference. ElderCare 360 can provide you and your family the proper guidance, support, and resources to assist you and your loved ones with their daily activities of living with healthcare challenges.
As a patient advocate, ElderCare 360 brings together a team of patient-focused, caring professionals with decades of experience. Call us to see how we can help before the crisis at 561-713-1800.
Make ElderCare 360 part of your team. ElderCare 360, patient advocacy, coordination of services, and full circle of care. 561-713-1800.
I'm here with Scott Greenberg from Comfort Care Senior Services. Scott, you're very involved when it comes to the senior community.
That's right, Mike. We firmly believe that involvement in the community, giving back to the community, comes back to us in many, many ways. One of the ways it comes back to us is in our understanding of what's going on, what's new, what's trending. So we're very involved in the guardianship community, for example. We're involved in Alzheimer's community care, in the Alzheimer's Association, in Parkinson's. We run support groups. Basically, what I'm saying is that we want to be a part of the community in ways that we just don't receive benefit, but that we can give benefit as well. It's very important for us to understand the needs of the entire community and the needs of other people who are providing services. It is only through that that we can ensure that we provide the best care possible. Remember, Mike, it's the quality of care, not the severity of one's condition, that determines the quality of their life. So remember, let our family take care of your family and call us at 561-630-1620. That's 561-630-1620, or look us up on the web at palmbeach.comfortcare.com.
Welcome back to Oh My God, I'm Getting Older and So Is My Mom with Scott Greenberg of Comfort Care Senior Services. Reach Scott with your questions, 877-960-9960. Now, back to Scott.
Welcome back, everybody, here tonight with Dr. Lindsay Bride, audiologist with Adept Audiology, and we're talking about hearing loss and hearing restoration with hearing aids, and we're in the midst of the hearing aid conversation at the moment. So if I might, Dr. Bride, you know, one of the big objections in my friend network, you know, is appearance and look. And there's been a lot of changes in that over the years. So fit is very important. Is that a big part of what you do? And am I right that there's a lot of different styles that can, you know, can solve people's concerns about appearance?
Absolutely. I think the notion of cosmetics standing in the way of someone wearing a hearing aid is kind of going away because hearing aids are so tiny. So styles can range from being completely invisible down inside the ear to being a little bit larger and over the ear. But even so, all styles can be made to be essentially invisible and very discreet if that is certainly important to you.
And of the five manufacturers, do some specialize in more fashionable is not the right word, but, you know, more easily hidden or less easily hidden? Is that some of the difference, or is it just the technology between the five primary manufacturers?
Yeah, so the five primary manufacturers all have some type of device that's incredibly discreet. I will say they kind of all have their niche depending on, you know, lifestyle and that, but in terms of the size and style, all the manufacturers have very similar options there.
Before I get to my next question, how do people reach you if they have more questions?
If someone needs to reach me, they can go to my website, which is adeptaudiology.com. In addition, you can email at office@adeptaudiology.com, and that's A-D-E-P-T-A-U-D-I-O-L-O-G-Y. And then our office number is 941-312-4781.
Terrific. And we'll do that again before the show is over if you missed that. Dr. Bride, one of the other big objections that many people have relates to the costs of hearing aids. And so I think that's one of the reasons that these over-the-counter $7.99 offers look pretty interesting. Can we talk about costs? I know traditional insurance doesn't cover hearing aids, so what should people expect? What are they thinking about? What are the solutions? What are the options?
Great question. So, yes, most traditional insurances, like a Medicare, for example, will not cover hearing devices. That said, we are seeing more and more supplements that are working with hearing benefits. So we work with quite a few in our office. Different, again, depending on what your supplemental plan is, there are certainly a lot more hearing aid benefits today than ever before. So first thing I'd tell people is don't be shy about asking your provider to check your hearing aid benefits. Other options would be, in terms of cost, if you were to pay out of pocket for a hearing device, you are looking at usually several thousand dollars. So a really good set of hearing devices could be anywhere from $2,000 to $6,000. Depending on the area you're in, I see them up to $10,000. And the truth is the products are incredibly expensive. And then you're also not only paying for the product, you're also paying for all the services attached to the product, because it's unfortunate at this day and age that most insurances are not covering office visits and services provided by the audiologist. So you're paying for the technology as well as all the support that is attached to that. For people that are looking for more cost-effective options, you mentioned the VA before. The VA does provide free hearing aids to veterans that were in the service. So if you have a connection to the VA, I 100% suggest you start there. They do provide top-of-the-line hearing aids, typically at no charge to the veteran. The other thing I wanted to mention is if you are working either full or part-time, there are state-funded programs that will provide financial assistance for hearing devices. We've seen these programs pay for all or part of the hearing devices. So I encourage people to ask the providers about those programs. We put as many people as we can through them, and we've seen a lot of success in doing that.
So Florida is one of those states that supports that?
That's correct. So depending on the county you're in, you reach out to, they call it a vocational rehab. And again, you'd kind of want to, you can reach out to them for financial assistance with for hearing devices. And what they do is they send you to a provider that they work with to be able to provide all the testing as well as recommend the appropriate hearing devices.
Yeah, I don't want to put you on the spot, but I do know Goodwill has an audiology component in some of their locations. I don't know much about it other than I know they're there. So maybe people might want to think about investigating that. So when you're looking at, you know, $2,000 to $6,000, and you see these, you know, $4.99 ads, and I don't want to drill down forever on the, you know, the Bose hearing aid. That's not really what I'm, you know, not the, my point. But the differences are, one is really kind of just an amplifier, and if you're noticing a problem, I know we just were talking about this, but if you're noticing a problem, maybe it's too late for some of these. Is that what you were saying before?
Yeah, so in terms of, so a basic amplifier is what a lot of the over-the-counter aids are designed to be. They're amplifying sounds, but that doesn't mean that they're necessarily making things more clear. In order to create clarity, hearing aids have to be specifically adjusted to your very specific hearing loss. And when you get a prescription hearing aid, you have way more tools to work with, way more ability to adjust, and we can design them to be very self-automated, where the ones over the counter don't have near that level of technology. The other piece, to your point, was hearing loss starts, starts from very slight to very mild. And everything we can see is that most people don't recognize a significant enough issue to get hearing aids with a mild hearing loss. A lot of people can get by or they're doing okay. And that is all a over-the-counter hearing aid will treat. And again, it's designed that way in order to protect you. But if you, once people are ready to get hearing aids, they've usually already started to fall in that moderate category. So if someone with a moderate hearing loss is looking for an over-the-counter hearing aid, there's no doubt they're going to be dissatisfied because the aid is not adequately meeting their loss. Right. Again, they might feel right, like it's better, but they're still going to feel incredibly dissatisfied.
So if hearing loss is progressive, does getting a hearing aid earlier in your hearing loss journey, does that slow the progression of further hearing loss?
So your hearing, no matter what, the hair cells within the cochlea will deteriorate over time no matter what. It's like, again, anything else, there's nothing you can really do to stop it. What we do know about hearing aids is hearing aids preserve sound at the level of the brain. So, like I said before, our brain is what hears. And if you don't hear consonant sounds, S, T, P, K, year after year after year, your brain literally forgets how to hear those sounds. And then your hearing will get so bad, you'll say, okay, I'm ready for a hearing aid. I'll put a hearing aid on you, and you'll say, I hate it. It's muffled. It doesn't work. And it's because your brain has forgotten how to hear. Had you treated that loss sooner, what we can do is actually preserve and retain the brain's ability to recognize those sounds. So while we may have to change the programming and increase the sound, your brain's ability to actually hear clearly will be preserved.
So then you could readjust the existing hearing aids. You wouldn't necessarily need a new set of hearing aids if your hearing deteriorated, or am I incorrect?
No, that is correct. So every year we like to give you a hearing test and make sure that we're adjusting the hearing aid properly for you so that your brain is adequately stimulated and you're able to retain hearing in those specific areas. If we would expect you, if you buy a hearing aid, to have it for at least 4 to 6 years. And I have some patients that wear them plenty longer.
That's amazing. If you're just tuning in, I've been here tonight with Dr. Lindsay Bright. She's an audiologist at Adept Audiology. I'm going to give you her contact information again in just a moment. If you tuned in late and you're sorry you missed the show because you know somebody who's struggling with hearing loss or you think you may be and you'd like to know more about hearing aids and what the consequences and implications of hearing loss may be, the good news is you don't have to have missed the show forever because we podcast it tomorrow up and running on your favorite podcast platform. Just search OMG I'm Getting and up we will pop. It'll be up around noontime sometime tomorrow, and you'll be able to listen to the show from the beginning. Of course, if podcasting isn't for you, it's not for everybody. I understand that. I put it up on my website. That's palmbeach.comfortcare.com. Palmbeach.comfortcare.com. C-O-M-F-O-R-C-A-R-E. Regular listeners know you don't put a T in there because you won't find us. New listeners, don't put a T in there because you won't find us either. PalmBeach.comfortcare, C-O-M-F-O-R-C-A-R-E.com is a radio button right at the top of the homepage. Of course, there's no reason to ever have to miss any part of the show wherever you are because you can download the iHeartRadio app, set a reminder to listen to us every Monday at 6 o'clock, True Oldies in the Palm Beaches. Up we'll be there every Monday, iHeartRadio. And, of course, regardless of whether you have a smartphone or anything else, if you have a computer, wherever you are, you can listen to us again because we simulcast on TrueOldiesFLA.com. That's TrueOldiesFLA.com. We are up every Monday. You'll find us. Next week, author Debbie Weiss is going to be here. She wrote a book called On Second Thought, Maybe I Can. It's about life after 50, reimagining your life. She's also a family caregiver who dealt with three very distinct caregiving dynamics with both a father who was ill, a son who was struggling with autism and mental illness, and a husband who had a diagnosis of terminal diagnosis. She's been through a lot and yet still realized her dream of doing things she never thought she could do. It's a fascinating book. It's a fascinating subject. I spoke with her today. She's a most interesting woman, and you're going to enjoy listening to her. The author of On Second Thought, Maybe I Can, Debbie Weiss, next week. In 2 weeks, another author, David Rozelle, is going to be here. We're going to talk then about volatile markets. We're going to talk about inflation, interest rates, and where things are going next. It's a different type of subject, financial, but we're going to be talking about that in 2 weeks, and I encourage you to listen there. Dr. Bright, I have a couple more questions, of course, but why don't you give your contact information again for people who would like to more information about Adept Audiology and you?
Sure thing. So our office is Adept Audiology. We are located in Lakewood Ranch in Sarasota, Florida. If you want to check us out, you can go to our website, which is adeptaudiology.com. It's A-D-E-P-T-A-U-D-I-O-L-O-G-Y. In addition, you can call our office number, which is at 941-312-4781. And you can reach us via email at office@adeptaudiology.com.
So one of the things that we didn't talk about or the whole night, and I'm running out of time, what are the other causes besides aging of hearing loss? What are things that might cause hearing loss that people are not familiar with or not paying attention to?
So, sometimes it can be congenital, so you can have it right from the start. There are certainly genetic links for hearing loss. Other causes would be noise exposure. So if you're, around large, loud sounds or you're listening to your headphones at really loud levels, that can cause hearing loss. There's absolutely some medications. Overexposure to certain medications can cause hearing loss. And there's medical issues, like having a buildup of fluid or whatnot in the middle ear, and probably one of the more common ones too that can be resolved would be wax. Sometimes people believe they have a hearing loss and it's just a bunch of wax in the ear that can very easily be removed.
So I guess that, you know, leads us to the fact that it's never too early or never too late to find out whether you have hearing loss and why you might have hearing loss and whether a hearing aid might be for you. Is that correct?
That is absolutely correct. It's never too soon to go get a baseline test and see where you're at, and it's never too late to seek treatment. What we do know is that absolutely the sooner the better. The sooner you can get on top of your hearing and seek treatment if you have a loss, the better it is for your overall hearing health and your overall brain health.
We only have about 60 seconds left. One thing that's really important is one of the consequences of hearing problem is loss of balance, I've been told. So, can you confirm that? And loss of balance leads to falling, and falling leads to emergency rooms, and none of that's very good. Am I right?
You are correct. They go hand in hand. They work within the same system in the inner ear. So, yes, that's absolutely true.
Yeah. So, this, of course, is Scott Greenberg. Oh, my God, I'm getting older. So is my mom. We're here every Monday. We talk about issues that are of importance to boomers and their parents. None, I think, is more important than hearing loss and its impact on cognition, on your health, on just enjoying the benefits of life. I've been here tonight with Dr. Lindsay Bride, audiologist, who is explaining to us both what causes it, what the impact is, and how you can fix it. Dr. Bride, I can't thank you enough. I know you had a pretty stressful couple of days. I appreciate you making the time, in spite of all that's going on for you, to be here tonight. You really have imparted a tremendous amount of very, very useful information, and I honestly can't thank you enough for making the time. You're a great guest. I hope I can have you back one day.
I would love to be back, hopefully in studio next time. And I thank you for the opportunity. It was a good time.
It's terrific. If you missed the show, don't worry. We'll be up tomorrow. OMG, I'm getting on the podcast platform of your choice or on my website. Oh, my God, I'm getting older. So is my mom. Here on True Oldies from Fort Lauderdale to Fort Pierce every Monday from 6 to 7. We're glad that you joined us tonight. We hope that you'll join us again next week. Dr. Bride, much thanks again to all of you. Stay safe, stay secure, watch out for the heat wave, protect yourself against COVID. We'll see you next Monday night. Oh, my God, I'm getting older. So is my mom. Good night, all.